I'm going to go ahead and start with Scripture again this morning. So if you would please turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to read the story of the Good Samaritan. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Now I'm going to read this. But we're not going to unpack it and get into it so much today. Of course, the Word of God doesn't return void. So the Word of God is going to work as we read through this. That's the most important thing. But today is actually, we're going to start an Art of Neighboring campaign. We're going to start an Art of Neighboring ministry in our church. We're going to take the Great Commandment seriously to love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to bear fruit and to do a work in our hearts, that we would be willing to die for our neighbors, even the undesirable ones. And that we would pray and work on building a relationship, opening the door to the gospel to them, because this is what the Scripture commands for us to do. So let's read the words of Jesus about this subject. We'll start in verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Nathan is, he's learning how to talk good. And I'm glad that he's in here. So don't worry. Amen. He needs to be in here with us. Amen. He's walking good too. So we all know the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." So again, we're going to look at those scriptures more closely in the coming Sundays. And really dig in there. But today again is more of an introduction to a movement that needs to happen in our church. There's a book, it's called The Art of Neighboring, and I read it a few years ago, and it helped me, and I read it and thought, we need to do this in the church, and I've mentioned it before, if you remember. But through this virus and stay-at-home orders, we came together as a church, the church leaders, and we had an outreach meeting. The leaders of the church came together just to talk about what can we do right now to reach out into the community and spread the gospel. Even though there's lockdowns and shelter in place and social distancing and all these things, I don't need to say much more. We said we need to be creative right now. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom, but we must do something.
Amen.
We must get busy.
Amen.
Our priority is not to follow CDC guidelines. Our priority is to spread the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's our priority.
Amen.
And so I'm saying that confidently and boldly now, but that was said in that meeting and it was biting me. It was convicting me. You know, because, you know, honestly, the shelter in place, be at home, was kind of nice sometimes. Being at home with my family. I was enjoying it. But we must get busy. And so we're still facing a lot of those same challenges right now, coming up on 10 months later. And so in that meeting, we were sharing ideas. And from that meeting is where the Living Nativity came about. It was Katie's idea. We all agreed, let's do it. And the Lord blessed it, and that was a wonderful outreach.
Amen.
Into the community. But as we were sharing ideas, I had a vision that I wanted to share. And it was the art of neighboring. A practical way for each of us to say, look, I'm going to go reach out to the person that lives right next to me. This neighbor adjacent to me. It seems impossible, but the Lord will give me some wisdom on how to do this, get through that fence and those dogs to reach them and start building a relationship. But I was sitting there, and as I was listening, Pastor Bob began to share about what was pressing on his heart. That we have people that live a stone's throw away from us and we don't even know them. We have no relationship with them. We don't know what their needs are, let alone meeting those needs. And they live right there. We can throw a rock at their house, and that's not always true for all of us, right? There's houses that are can't even see them, but they're our neighbor. I was just sitting there excited because, wow, this is exactly what I want to talk about. So I spoke up when we were talking about ideas. You know, let's just write a note and put it on their gate so that when they drive up, it's obvious there's a note on their gate and they'll grab it. And it'll be not some cookie cutter note that we write up for everyone to put on a gate. It'll be personal. It'll be one that you've prayed about and you've written yourself, reaching out to them. And maybe even put like a little gift or something on there. Neighbor, I want to get to know you. I know it's been years, and all we've done is wave at each other on the road, but I really would like to get to know you, and I'd like to know how you're doing and if there's anything I can do to help, you know. So we're going to do that. Amen. We're going to do that as a part of this over these next few weeks. Or if the Lord puts it wisdom in your heart to do it a different way, but we're going to make this attempt. And so it was a big encouragement that we all left from that meeting in agreement. And it's been a while since that meeting, Pastor Bob, and I was thinking about it. And like we've talked about, you just got to take the first step. Amen. So that's what we're doing today, taking the first step in this process. And so we need to reach out. We need to be creative. I'm gonna say some things that maybe the Lord will work in a different way. But we're gonna pursue our neighbors. It's funny. Julie and I were talking. She's read the book. I've read the book, and it talks about. It's really about the city, apartments, suburbia. You know, let's have a block party. You know, when your neighbor's walking by with their dog, stop and talk to them, you know. And Julie and I are like, man, we got to write a whole different book for Anza. None of that would work that they're saying in there. It's totally different ballgame here. We might have an opportunity to meet our neighbor when they're chasing their dog that ran out of the gate and they're trying to catch him. We can go out and try to help them catch the dog or something. You know, there's going to be other things. Maybe our neighbor got stuck in a muddy ditch because it's rained so hard, and they're just out there, and we can go out there and pull them out of the ditch, right? Or call someone from the church that could. And right, Clyde? So there's not this cookie-cutter method that works, but we are going to seek those that are adjacent to us to build a relationship with them. And the Lord might lead us further down, and that'll be fine, but we're going to pursue our neighbors. We just need to get busy doing it. Because truth is, there's many needs and many problems all around us that we don't know about. And there's many isolated people around us. Even people from our own congregation that haven't left their house more than 5 times since March. They're just at home alone all the time. We were talking about that last night in our elders and deacons meeting. And the Lord has put it on our heart to be very urgent about reaching out to the church members that have been at home and have not been back with us. We need to contact them. We need to encourage them to come back. We need to do things to make them feel comfortable to come back. And so one idea is that Thompson Hall will make that a meeting area, mask only. You can only be over there if you wear masks, so that those that would feel more comfortable that way, they can go meet there. But I want to tell you right now, and I've been thinking about that, if necessary, for them to feel comfortable to come back, we should all be willing to wear a mask. Amen. If that's what it takes for them to come back, and we love our brothers and sisters, and if that's what it takes to make them feel comfortable, to make that initial step to come back with us, then we need to do that. Amen. Even if we don't believe that it's helping anything.
I know 2 families that I can think of, and I won't name them, but mm-hmm. I would be willing to do that.
Amen.
That's good, April. And me too. And so, sure, that's right, Clint. But we're going to pray about it, And Pastor Bob and I are working on a letter. The elders and deacons are working on a letter that we're going to send out to them. So please pray for that process, and for that letter to be effective, and to encourage them and to love them and to bring them back. But we had a very good meeting last night. I mentioned last week that the events that are happening in our nation are a good thing. And the reason that I repeated that, I had read that in an article. The reason I said that is because right now what's happening in our nation, it's not going to be solved by anything that we can come up with ourselves. I mean, we can get together and try to brainstorm and just try to figure out solutions. I was thinking about it the other day. It was mentioned in one of our meetings that, look, we're going to be $28 trillion in debt soon. That's not going to work. And it's getting worse. So I thought about, what could we do? I'm like, man, we need to send Dave Ramsey's financial peace seminar to the governors and tell them, listen, you guys need to watch this and follow these principles. But that's ridiculous. I don't think that that would work. I don't think that would help. And so the reason that this is good is because only the gospel is going to work.
Amen.
Only the gospel penetrating people's hearts, the hearts of our leaders, is going to stop the nosedive of our nation right now and pull it back up. Only the gospel.
Amen.
And that's why we need to be bold and equipped and ready to proclaim the gospel. And we're going to start with our neighbors, one person at a time. And I have to be honest with another thing. I said, Pastor Bob, I just had to take the first step today. This is the right thing to do. But I have to be honest with you, I don't have much success in this. Okay, I grew up in Anza. I have neighbors that live next to me for 18 years, and I never even saw them except for in their cars driving by, kicking up a bunch of dust. And I didn't even wave to them.
Ouch.
Well, Clint, that's pretty bad, but it's worse that I don't even ever even talk to them or said hello to them. 18 years I live next to them.
I try to at least wave.
It's good. We're going
to
try to get to the point, Clint, where we wouldn't just wave, but that we'd be willing to die for him.
Yes, I understand.
And so, it's impossible. It's impossible apart from the Lord's work in our heart.
It's a mindset.
And so, I was struggling. How can I teach this, Lord, with the success that I've had in this area of neighboring? I have a neighbor over here, had a neighbor. His name was David. And he would walk around on his property, which is right up against ours. And I did stop and talk to him a couple times. And he liked to talk. And it came to the point where I was like, I'm too busy to stop and talk. I've got a million things to do. I got to study. I've always got to study. I'm never studying enough. I got to do this, this, and this. No, I can't. I don't have time. Over a year ago, his kidneys began to fail. And he was hospitalized, and he was dying. And it's like, I need to go see him. And he was in the Veterans Hospital at La Jolla. And as soon as I walked in the room, it's hard to see someone that's so yellow. Their skin is so yellow. And the doctor came in right after me, and I was there when the doctor was talking to him, saying, "Look, we've done all we can do. There's nothing more we can do. I'm sorry." And he was thankful. You know, he recognized me, and we didn't have much of a conversation because he was in and out, awake and then falling asleep, awake, falling asleep, awake, falling asleep, and eventually he was just asleep. And so I was reading scriptures to him, and I was just like, "Man, Lord, you know, I had so many opportunities, and now look at this." And I read him Titus chapter 3, and I'm just going to let the scriptures work this morning. Titus chapter 3, I think, is just such a clear presentation of the gospel. If you're sharing with someone and you want to give them the gospel, read Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. So I want to share the gospel this morning, so I'll let the scriptures speak and I'll... And I'll read that. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. You know, for each of us, that was true of us at one time. You know, we understand that. But we need to understand something else. We're not far from that.
Amen.
We're not very far from them. We're a whole lot closer to them than we are to the holiness of the Lord. We're not far from that. So when we see people in this state, we need to have compassion. Because that could easily be us. Apart from the power of the Lord in us. Verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So I read that passage and some others, and I prayed over him, but I didn't even get to say goodbye because he wouldn't wake up, and it was less than a week later that he passed away. And number one, I need to trust the Lord that He can work through that. David could have heard those things. Someone else could have spoken to him, and he could have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But number two, there's that guilt there, isn't there? I had those opportunities. And we know there's no condemnation, Steve. We know there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So that's we're forgiven of that. But as Paul said to those elders before he was leaving to Jerusalem to be arrested, he told them, "Look, I'm not going to ever see you again. I am innocent of men's blood. I'm innocent of all men's blood. I have shared the gospel," is what he's saying. "I've told people the gospel. I've put it before them. I've done what I was supposed to do. So I'm innocent of them. Whether they choose the gospel or not, I've told them the gospel." I want to be able to say that. And I want you guys to be able to say that. Of our neighbors. And we'll see as we study that passage in Luke, our neighbors are not just our adjacent neighbors. But you know what? I've also seen excellent examples of this within our church. In fact, I believe that Paul and Katie have been a good example of this. As they've gone out to 4-H, into the community, they've been examples. They've shared the Gospels. And some of you might not know that it was through Paul and Katie and through others in our church, Margarita and her family, that Jessica Bell was saved and the Lord has been working so powerfully in their family. And I didn't say this earlier, but Paul and Katie, your guys' example of ministry in your family and in the church is an example for Julie and I. And we thank you for that example. We're going to talk about this more. But in the meantime, just to hit this point home, Paul, if you could bring down the screen, we're going to watch a short video. I'll tell you when to start it, Paul. And I could use a couple of volunteers to hand out some papers. Could I have a couple of you? Please, Gideon. Yeah, Jesse, that'd be great. If you could hand one of these out, and I just realized that I should have had pencils for you. So just mentally write things down on the paper if you don't have a pen or pencil. But what this is a grid, and it represents you in the middle and the neighbors that surround you. Okay? Now I know some of you are next to a field and you got a whole side blank. All right, so don't worry about that. You don't got to think about the people a couple miles on the other side of the field. But they need to be adjacent to you. All right? And we're going to watch a video in a second that's going to explain this a little bit more. But write down the names of those people, your neighbors that live around you. All right? Write down some specific information about them. And if they have any needs that you know of. Okay, so names, some specifics about them, and any needs they might have. But go ahead and watch this video, this short video, just to give us a better understanding.
How many of these neighbors do you know by name? Go ahead, try to name them. If you're like most people these days, you probably only know a few of your neighbors by name. We have garages for our cars, privacy fences for our backyards, and we seem to be perpetually busy. You're doing pretty well if you wave or say hi as you're passing by. But what if we did more? What if we made it a point to learn the names of the people who live on our block? What if we took the time to listen to our neighbors and find out what makes them tick? What if our neighborhoods relied on each other in times of need, whether it be for a cup of flour or a shoulder to cry on? What if Jesus really meant that we should love our actual neighbors? Imagine the difference you could make in your neighborhood if you got to know your neighbors better. Imagine the difference you could make in your community if you partnered with others who had a desire to become better neighbors. Imagine the difference it could make in our cities if local churches were working together to make this a reality. You don't have to imagine very hard. It's happening. Check out The Art of Neighboring to discover how you can join others around the world to build genuine relationships right outside your door.
So, I don't want to glorify this book. We want to glorify the Word of God. And there are biblical and scriptural instruction and wisdom in this book, which is very helpful. But this is going to look a little different for us. It's going to take time. I mean, we've had neighbors that we haven't spoken to for years and decades. It's not going to be too easy to strike up a relationship. And there's challenges. But we need to get busy. And we need to be intentional. And this is a practical way for us to do outreach into our community. And they even mentioned, too, this is something that, you know, we were praying about last night, about ways to bring the churches back together, to work together. Let's go there. You know, let's go in that direction, that as churches in the valley, we could come together and work on this together. And so, I want us to pray about this, okay? Pray for this time. Pray that the Lord would make it a fruitful time, that He would do a mighty work in our hearts, as I was saying, that we would, well, as our Lord and Savior did, that we would be willing to lay down our lives for our neighbors. So I'm going to go ahead and close with that. I have more here, but we're going to get into it as we progress. But please take that sheet home. Really try to fill it out. The names, some specifics about the people that live around you, and put it on your fridge. That was helpful to me. It made it so that I wasn't overwhelmed. I got to reach everyone in the valley. Let me focus, zoom in and focus on those around me. And I have this grid in my mind as I think of my neighbors. And I've seen breakthroughs over the last year or two. I've made some connections with neighbors. But there's still a couple that I haven't. But I'm thinking about it. How do I reach those? How do I reach them, Lord? Lord, please bring an opportunity that I can begin a relationship with them. So again, we'll look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Pastor Bob is going to share a message too. He's going to share a message with us about relationships and the stages of relationships, which begin with acquaintance. It starts by just getting acquainted, saying hello, waving, and just opening up a conversation. It starts there, but there's three other stages that we want to go through those with our neighbors. So Pastor Bob's going to share about those in the future. So please pray. Please pray for the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and to lead us in this time as we go through an Art of Neighboring movement in our church. So I appreciate your guys' prayer. Going to ask if Lance, if you could come and lead us in our closing prayer before we go.
Thank you, Lord. You'll join me in prayer.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, God, what a blessing it is to be in your house,
yes,
to be your children, to be the receivers of grace that you pour out abundantly upon us. God, we thank you for that. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you for the charge you've given today. Mm-hmm. That we see that when you came to serve and to save. And you went to all. God, I pray that you would embolden us, mm-hmm, you would strengthen us, mm-hmm, and God, that you would open doors and provide opportunities,
yes,
and that we would be sensitive to your leading and aware,
yeah,
that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. God, that we'd reach out to those that are around us, mm-hmm, those that need to hear your love, mm-hmm, for them. God, use us as vessels for that. We thank you and pray in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.